When the internet arrived, a lot of analysts predicted the loss of jobs, just like today with automation. Mm-hmm. But it turned out the internet generated 5 times as many jobs as those lost. They just ended up being different kinds of jobs. So the question is, how do you cope with the introduction of automation in healthcare?
Hi, I'm Marianne Bohr with HIMSS. In this episode, we're sitting down with Dr. Yan Chow, global healthcare leader at Automation Anywhere. Today, we'll be talking about debunking the top 5 healthcare automation myths. Now, before we start, I want to say thank you to Automation Anywhere for sponsoring this podcast. Dr. Chow, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here, Marianne. Thank you for inviting me.
Sure. Now, could you tell us how common automation is in healthcare and what percentage of facilities use automation in some form?
Yeah, we've seen a huge uptake in the traction with automation, especially the last 2 years with COVID, because I think a lot of organizations are seeing that the structural gaps in healthcare are very difficult to mitigate unless you have automation. There is an analyst firm that estimates that by the end of 2023, over 50% of healthcare organizations will be fully involved with automation.
Wow. Now, who is the primary sponsor for automating in healthcare facilities?
I think the most common sponsors are, at this point, are C-level folks. So that's CEO, CFO, CIO, with the demand coming from more in the middle management. So we're seeing a lot of interest in revenue cycle, for instance, which is a CFO's organization, in finance and HR, a whole number of other kinds of use cases. And I think the attitude is shifting from automation as a point solution to automation as an essential platform tool that's part of your technology stack, if you will.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, that kind of dovetails to my next question, which is, what is driving automation in healthcare?
I think there's a lot of there are a lot of drivers. The typical ones would be things like the cost, the sort of unsustainable cost of healthcare, which is going up, the value gain from that healthcare, that healthcare investment, which means that you have to be able to measure healthcare, the issue of interoperability, which is difficult without automation, the issue of accuracy, error correction, and rework required in healthcare, and just in general, the idea that healthcare has a lot of electronic paperwork that's burning out physicians, clinicians, and many of the staff, and the kind of stuff that they hate doing that they would rather a machine do.
Of course. Now, I understand there are some myths about automation in healthcare. Now, what is the biggest myth you think in automating, and why would you consider it a myth?
Well, I think myth number one by far is something that's sort of not mentioned. It's the gorilla in the closet, if you will, and it's that people will lose their jobs. There have been a number of dire warnings, you know, in the last couple of years by pundits and analysts about millions of jobs being lost. But I think the real situation is a lot more nuanced. Even though certain tasks will become automated and not require human involvement, it's useful to look at the historical impact of technology on jobs. In 2015, researchers at the University of Oxford looked at the impact of technology from 1970 to 2000, which is when personal computers and internet came about. I don't know if you remember, but I'm old enough to remember the telephone operator. The researchers noted that telephone operators, bank tellers, and typists were easier to replace with machines, while other jobs like programmers, engineers, data analysts became more valuable, because they had abstract skills that complemented computer technology, skills like problem solving, analytical reasoning, and complex communication. So as a result, the metropolitan areas around our country with an abstract knowledge base workforce grew, while those with routine manufacturing work saw the displacement of middle skill workers. And I remember the internet became mainstream about the 1980s, early 80s. There was a profound shift in the job market towards abstract skills. Ironically, another analyst firm has found that workers on the other end of the spectrum, for example, construction workers, EMTs, home health aides, also thrived because they were in jobs that could not be automated. So it's not only the nature of jobs, but the number of jobs. When the internet arrived, a lot of analysts predicted the loss of jobs, just like today with automation. Mm-hmm. But it turned out the internet generated 5 times as many jobs as those lost. They just ended up being different kinds of jobs. So the question is, how do you cope with the introduction of automation in healthcare? First, I think it's likely that very few people will be laid off because healthcare is suffering from an unprecedented staffing shortage. What automation will do is eliminate the routine manual tasks that people don't like to do and free them up to do more abstract thinking, the kind of work that only humans can do. And in addition, there'll be a shift from doing things to managing automations that do things. Automation being a tool, it requires a different skill set and mindset to use it. And automated processes can also scale in a way that a human workforce cannot, as COVID painfully demonstrated. So in general, I think technology creates over time economic growth and rising employment because it boosts new jobs and new kinds of jobs in many sectors, and not just abstract skill jobs. A report by the Institute for the Future estimated that at least 85% of the jobs that will exist in 2030 haven't even been invented yet.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Now, what do you feel is the second biggest myth about automation in healthcare?
I think myth number two is that automation requires a lot of IT resources. And this myth is based on the traditional rollouts of massive enterprise applications that require multi-year planning, hundreds of IT staff and trainers, extensive integrations, hundreds of millions of dollars, extensive user support and costly maintenance. So I've been through a couple of those. But in the last two decades, the phenomenon of low-code, no-code programming environments has emerged. These are visual software development environments that allow enterprise developers and citizen developers who are non-IT business users to sort of drag and drop application components, connect them together, create automations and applications. And the combination of a low-code, no-code environment and non-IT citizen developers benefits the IT department in many ways. Because you have a lot more business users than IT staff, the initial development can occur on a much broader scale, which enables rapid prototyping and fast development. And this will help to reduce the IT backlog, which is very common in large organizations. If you, as a business user, have a great idea, in many companies, you have to submit it to IT, which prioritizes it, and you end up in a long work queue, even though you need the solution today. So low-code, no-code dramatically increases sustainability and integration with legacy systems because these kinds of environments operate at a much more abstract and manageable level rather than at a programming language level. And with the right environment, you also get better partnering between IT and business units, where instead of IT taking orders from business units can now create prototype solutions that give IT a much better idea of what's needed. And so they become partners, not adversaries, as is often the case. So with low-code, no-code, solutions are more flexible, easier to change if assumptions change. Collaboration reduces the need for shadow IT organizations, which are the bane of existence for IT. IT can do more with less budget because they're leveraging the times and skills of business stakeholders. And last but not least, besides easing current work, the low-code, no-code environment allows a healthcare organization to help its employees learn and master new skills that will be important in the future, which is a win-win for the organization and for the staff.
I can definitely see that. Now, what do you think is the third biggest myth about healthcare automation?
Yeah, I think myth number three, I would say, is that automation brings security risks. The thinking behind this is that automation can result in security vulnerabilities and breaches because who knows what a bot or a software robot is doing? Is a HIPAA violation possible? And this is an understandable concern, but I'd like to discuss three points about this. First is the issue of what bots do and how they behave. Today, bots, even intelligent bots, what we call intelligent bots that use machine learning or other kinds of AI, can only do what they've been designed to do. Bots can mimic human decision-making if given a clear set of business rules on how to make decisions, but at critical points, they still need human input. On the other hand, they can be designed to enhance security, say by watching and alerting IT to user actions that are unusual or early signs of a potential security breach. The second point is the issue of governance. An enterprise intelligent automation platform like ours provides very rigorous, very strict centralized governance administered by central IT that requires permission, verification, and review before any bot design is approved. And on top of that, permission must be issued for any bot to run, with detailed logs being kept about a bot's activities, including who did what, what the bot did, the decisions that were made, and the results. So a central control room monitors all the bots in the organization on a real-time basis. And it's interesting, I was thinking about this, the level of control you get here can be contrasted with how I think relatively easy it might be for an employee to create an unauthorized Excel macro on their own that could send PHI outside the organization. The third point is that the vendor's commitment to security is really important. As an example, Automation Anywhere is the only general enterprise automation platform that has achieved HITRUST CSF certification, which addresses HIPAA. We are also the only vendor with SOC 2 Type 1, Type 2, and ISO 27001 certifications. Our platform from early on was built with a privacy-first objective, and it's reflected in the current product. So this is critical for healthcare and other highly regulated industries. Healthcare organizations are required to be HIPAA compliant, and our platform can certainly support that requirement.
Well, that is definitely good to know. Dr. Chow, what do you feel is the fourth biggest myth about automation in healthcare?
Yeah, I think myth number four, I would say, is that bots will replace human decision-making. We are definitely not there yet, even though there's lots of debate around the possibility AI might someday completely replace doctors and nurses. But for today, I think it's more accurate to say that bots could replace decision-making that doesn't require human judgment or complex problem solving. For example, if a patient shows up in a clinic, the receptionist may ask whether they're a new patient or a returning patient. If the patient is new, the receptionist will ask about insurance coverage and check the status of the coverage in the health plan portal. But if they're returning, the receptionist will also retrieve the past medical history to check on ongoing issues. This kind of back and forth is highly automatable because the actions are based on clear rules, and the rules pretty much don't change. If A, do this, if B, do that, if C, do something else. You can also design automations to catch exceptions, such as what to do if the patient is uninsured. So regarding human decision-making, a process that is not easily automatable is where the process involves a lot of human judgment backed by, I would say, expertise and experience. And a good example of that is a typical healthcare contact center, where a contact center agent must be able to deal with most anything that comes in. So they have to obtain information from the caller, retrieve relevant information from many IT systems, and put it all together to try to solve the issue. Automation is great at retrieving information, and it can automate specific solutions once they're required. What they can't do right now is to put the whole picture together. So let's say a patient calls saying they can't come in today for their appointment and they want to reschedule. An agent could launch a bot to fetch past information quickly, which tells them this visit has been canceled several times before. And while the bot is working, the agent can simultaneously probe for the reason they can't come in today. The patient says their family caregiver can't take off work. So the agent exercises problem solving and suggests sending an Uber to pick up the patient. So the patient agrees. The agent clicks another button to launch that Uber action, saving the appointment for that day. Unfortunately, that's not how many contact centers work today. The agent must themselves navigate multiple systems to gather information, leaving the patient on hold. And the agent really, for the kind of metrics that they're measured on, they have no time to probe, so they just reschedule. So here, the patient feels like the healthcare organization cares about them and can solve their real issues. And the agent can spend time that's freed up by the bot to build a real relationship.
You can definitely see how that would make each contact more meaningful.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Dr. Chow, is the fifth biggest myth about healthcare automation?
Well, I think one of the myths that I've seen is that it takes a long time to realize the benefits from automation. And I think this myth, again, came about from the typical experience that many healthcare organizations have with enterprise technology applications and their rollout. It's disruptive. It takes months, if not years, requires heavy lifting, heavy integration and resource planning, and it's costly. But the one bright spot of many, perhaps, but the one bright spot in all of this, or one of the exceptions, is automation. An enterprise-grade intelligent automation platform based on low-code, no-code is designed to sit above other applications. So if you set it up properly, it can serve as the integrator, the Uber dashboard, the application process monitor and controller, with the ability to fill gaps and needs in other applications. So As an example, our most popular use case is probably the most popular use cases are probably in the revenue cycle area. And revenue cycle, as many of the listeners know, is a mission critical function that tracks patient revenue from the first time the patient touches the healthcare system to when they leave the system. And this area particularly encompasses hundreds of processes, many of which are well-defined and highly repetitive. This revenue cycle generates the medical claims that are so the lifeblood of any healthcare provider. So when we start working with healthcare organizations on where to start automating, some of the considerations we have are, does the process involve manual, repetitive, tedious, error-prone work with a high volume of frequency? Is the work low value? In other words, are you paying expensive staff who would be doing higher value work like problem solving to do things a machine could do faster and more accurately? Is the process well-defined and fairly stable? Is the process based on clear rules that require minimal human judgment with few exceptions? And last but not least, are pre and post automation results measurable, such as hours saved or speed or accuracy? When you pick the right set of processes to automate, you can achieve benefits really quickly. A simple process can be automated within 4 to 6 weeks or less. A medium complexity process might take 2 to 4 months, and a highly complex process, maybe 6 months or more. But we always recommend starting with simple because it's a lot easier to learn on a simple process, a lower risk. So the technical part is actually fairly straightforward. A lot of the time is spent instead actually discovering the process for which we have a process intelligence tool that's market leading. But finding out what it is you want to automate and deciding on which part to automate or re-engineer. You want to make sure the process is what you want before you automate it. Otherwise, you'll have a really fast, really efficient, bad process. So the benefits are sizable. What we're seeing in healthcare is 20 to 40% higher in hours saved, manual handling reduced by up to 90% with accuracy up to 100%, and productivity increases of around 30, 40%. So I think intelligent automation is going to be in every successful healthcare organization's toolbox in the future. That's exciting.
Yes, those sound like good numbers for any kind of industry. And Dr. Chow, to wrap up, what would you say is the best way for a leader who's driving automation initiative to really kind of talk about and overcome these myths with their teams?
Well, I think one of the strategies to take would be to first understand the issue of automation implementation, the issue of technology implementation and innovation that every organization faces, no matter what the technology. And part of that is a big part of that is actually people management, change management. Part of it is technical, understanding how it integrates with the existing system and the potential benefits and risks, how to measure it so that you can use it to justify future use cases. A lot of these issues are things that can be managed and have been done successfully by many organizations. So another aspect of that is to talk to other organizations that have done it. And we also have experts on our staff. For instance, we have one person who used to manage automation, multi-hundred million dollar organization at Dell, who can talk about scaling and implementation. We have other experts that can provide that kind of advice, as well as partners that can have done very successful implementations, getting the kinds of ROIs that people want. So I think part of it is evangelism, education, evangelism, politics, you know, just like with any innovation, and the persistence and the belief that it is going to change things. And actually, I think in a sense, healthcare is headed that way no matter what, because currently with a given conditions in healthcare, it really is not sustainable. We cannot deal with unpredictable shocks, you know, like COVID. We need to make it much more sustainable, much more scalable, much more accessible. And automation does afford that. So it's exciting.
Definitely an exciting time for healthcare and for innovation as far as digital techniques go. Dr. Chow, thank you so much for joining us today and for your insights. And special thanks.
Thank you.
And special thanks to Automation Anywhere for sponsoring this podcast. Have a fantastic rest of your day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you.